Hello, everyone. I'm Damien Chaplin.
And I'm Zoe.
And this is The Exchange, one of the fine programs you can find on the Great American Broadcast Network. Yep, this is The Exchange. And it's a live show, so you should call us. Call us, please. It's 6:30s on Mondays. I'm stealing your lines. 6:30 on Mondays. Oh, Nancy and or Bert. 6:30 Pacific. Yes, 6:30 Pacific. See, I didn't finish the line, so you had to jump in.
I got your back.
6:30 Pacific on Mondays. It is currently 6:33 on the 25th of August, the most August month that there is. And, wow, Nancy and or Bert may be having technical issues. Mom, oh, no, in and out.
She does not look like she hears you.
Well, yeah. Interesting. Okay, yeah, and she's got some video. I can hear her.
Now we can.
Yeah, we can hear her. Audio. But I don't know that. Can you hear us? You cannot hear us. Yeah, well, that is how these things go.
Oh.
Yes, we're here. Hi. Yeah, but now they can see us, apparently.
But not hear us.
Anyway, as I was saying, this is a live show, so you can call us by going, oh, Mom is calling us again. All right. That's interesting. Are we going to have two instances of Mom here? That'll be fun.
Can it do that?
Well, it looks like she's trying to connect from two different accounts, which is a
little
weird.
Maybe one of them's from her phone.
No, okay. Here's okay. So I'm going to remove her. Remove. And now maybe that will allow her other one to join. And you too can have fun like this by going to gabnet.net and clicking on the giant Zoom button there, where you can join our waiting room and I can allow you into our citizen panel TM Gabnet. And that's kind of all we've got to say, right? That's all the business we got to take care of? Yep, I guess so.
Yep, that's where you are, folks.
Okay, all right. No, I was just making sure that that's all we had. Okay, so this Nancy person is just not joining. And because she's still in the waiting room, I cannot remove them. Oh, participants. Participants? No, see, yeah. Oh, here's Mom calling again. Okay, this one is Nancy. Nancy is connecting to audio. I see Nancy. And now I see Nancy on the computer and on her phone.
There's a lot of Nancys on there.
I
will hang up the phone.
Okay, we have double Nancys, double Berts.
How do I hang up the damn phone?
I will right click and... Okay, no, now you did it. Good job.
It was my phone, so I just swiped it off the screen.
Just turn the phone off. There you go. Hello, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Mom and Bert. How are you guys?
We're fine, thank you.
Yeah, anything new and interesting, fun happening on your end?
Well, just now when I was trying to get in, it told me I had to download the new program, which that was the third time I did it. And then it still wouldn't connect, but there's a little sense that says, want to connect using your browser? And so I clicked on that, and that's what worked. I'm not sure, but... connecting through my browser was what I did always until I downloaded this new version, which does not seem to work at all on my computer.
Your computer is old, but it should work on any computer.
It should.
Yes, should, but yeah.
Maybe I need to threaten it with my phone.
Yeah. Well, I will say that the picture from your phone was gorgeous. You were coming in very nice high def and very nice saturated colors. Yeah. this old webcam that you're using that I gave you for free.
No, I bought this one a couple of years ago.
Did you buy this one? Okay.
Yeah. Because the old one that you gave me crapped out finally.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this one is nothing compared to like what your phone's camera did. Because it's smarter. But it's okay because this is not on YouTube.
But that's why it's a good threat against the computer. You know, it's smarter.
It is smarter. It is smarter. Yeah, okay. Well, I guess that's it. Oh, I will say that when you called in the first time, it had you listed as Nancy and or Bert.
Yeah, that's because it asked me what I wanted to be, so I put that.
Oh, I see. You were trying to join as a guest or something? Yeah.
No, it was just the first... I don't know where I was. They were telling me... They were asking me... It was trying to go through on the new app.
Right.
And the new app asked me what name I wanted, so I said that.
Well, that's weird.
But then it wouldn't load that way.
You probably have a Zoom... Okay, so you have a Zoom account, and you need to log in with your Zoom account. You are not currently... It loaded the app, and you are not currently... loaded into the you're not currently signed into the app, I think is what's happening.
That's exactly what's happening because it asked me if I wanted to load it through my browser and I said yes, and this came through with Nancy as the name on it, so this is the way we always did it.
Okay so you don't have a Zoom account.
Well, I downloaded it 3 times. If it wanted me to establish an account, it might have said something to me.
Okay, well, that's fine. You do not need an account to join our citizen panel. Just click on the Zoom button on the right-hand side of the screen, right-hand-ish side of the screen.
It's not a button anymore.
It's not?
No, now it says Damien Chaplin's Exchange, an underlined word, and you have to click on this little phrase.
Oh, okay.
So each host has their own name and the name of their program. You click on. The big white button isn't there anymore.
I see. Okay. So now I have to alter my years-long developed speech.
You certainly do. Because you're going to confuse them if you tell them it's a button. Although I have to say that some software insists on calling that a button, even though it's clearly not a button.
Click on the link that says The Exchange. And I assume that around that link, it will say...
It says Damien Chaplin's Exchange.
And I assume around that it says Zoom somewhere. So that, you know, people know that if this is... That's what that link goes to.
Well, you might be right about that. I don't recall.
Okay. All right. Maybe I should visit our website sometime.
Maybe you should go look at it yourself.
Okay. All right. I'm going to open a new tab and go to gabnet.net. What is a citizen panel? Click below for Zoom connections. Gotcha. Okay. So it is a yellow link, and you can click on it. It says Damien Chaplin's Exchange. You can click on it there. So, yeah. Now that that's over, we don't have a whole lot to talk about tonight.
Yeah, but we had some things happen this week.
Did we?
Uh-huh.
What the hell happened?
We had 2 birthdays.
2 birthdays.
We didn't get to wish you a happy birthday yet.
Yes. No, thank you.
It was Damien's birthday this past week.
Yes, it was.
And he chose as his birthday wish to do nothing. So that's exactly what we did, which was very enjoyable. And also, it was Ruby's birthday. The dog that you sometimes hear bark on the show.
Sometimes guest of the exchange.
Yes, accidental guest. She turned 5.
And visible right there.
And right there if you're watching.
Yep.
She turned 5.
Turned 5 years old.
Yep. We won't say how old you turned because maybe you don't want people to know that.
Which is like 45 in dog years, right?
7, I think.
5.
Well, yeah, 7.
7, not 9.
35. 30.
In dog.
Yeah, 35 in dog years.
Okay. 35 in dog years. All right. So, yes.
Although dog years isn't really that simple. It's more
complicated. No, of course not. You know, if you feed your dog McDonald's, believe me, your dog years are equal to more like 13.
If your dog is very large, they won't last as long.
Yes, yes.
Smaller dogs last longer.
If you do not get the extended warranty, your dog will not last as long.
I thought I was getting a small dog when I got her as a puppy because her mom was little. And then she kept growing. She's 32 pounds, so she's a very medium dog.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's a medium dog. Not a small. She's not.
All of her siblings are only like 16 pounds. She's the only one that looks like this. So my guess is different daddy.
Well, she's just small enough for me to hold her in one arm. Like even 1 pound more, even you know, half a pound more, and I would like not be able to hold her in one arm while I'm carrying something in the other.
It takes two of my arms. Just saying.
The trick is to, because my cats are getting awful heavy for me to pick up these days. Actually, only one of them allows me to pick him up. But he's the biggest one. But leaning up against my shoulder and then lean back a little bit so that his weight is against my torso and not on my arm.
Ah, yes. Unfortunately, dogs don't do that the way cats do.
Oh, too bad.
Dogs are plenty in
their arms, elbows.
Yeah, their arms are always flailing. They don't know how to just tuck it up against you like a cat does.
Their arm doesn't bend like a cat.
Your shoulder.
Yeah. I mean, a kitty's arm can curl around. A dog arm is stuck with just this one joint at the elbow. They're so clunky.
Yep.
That just put lots of visuals in there. Clunky dogs.
Clunky Poochie. Happy birthday, Poochie.
Happy birthday, Damien.
Oh, thank you.
We all appreciate you being here every week.
Okay. I got to be
almost every week.
I got to be middle-aged for 1 year, and now I'm old.
Now they just keep happening.
I saw this thing on this sitcom many, many years ago where this guy was being very wise, and he said, and he was talking about somebody, another character just had his 50th birthday, and he said, 50 is the old age of youth and the youth of old age. I thought that was pretty clever.
That is very, very clever. 100%. And you know what? None of it means anything these days, you know? I mean, I'm listening to a podcast where they are watching episodes of the Transformers cartoon from 1984 and reviewing it and talking about their feelings when it came out. And you realize that these two guys who are talking about Transformers are 50 and 51 years old, like I am. And, you know, they just sound like regular guys. But no, and they're talking about Transformers, so you kind of expect them to be, I don't know, younger podcasters? But no, of course not. I mean, yeah. It's just really interesting. And all of my favorite podcasters are all kind of older than me. A lot of them are. And so, it's just kind of interesting. 51 is just nothing anymore. Just doesn't mean what it used to. You know, it used to mean 51 meant that your life was at a certain point, and now your life can be all over the place. I mean, because that's life is all over the place these days. So. Yeah, that's kind of what happens. What happened over here?
Yeah, that was about it. I had a business trip. I went up to Humboldt and back. It was lovely drive, and a fun trip, I guess.
It's a long drive.
It is a long drive to hit those accounts, but the grocery stores up there, the co-ops and the health food stores are huge. They're the size of a Whole Foods because there's no Sprouts or Whole Foods up there at all. And reps hardly come up and visit. So they're all really glad to see you. So it's kind of a fun trip as far as work goes, too.
Plus, you get to stay at that hotel with the hot tub.
Yeah.
That hotel with the hot tub.
Yeah.
We love that hotel.
No, I love the hot tub. The hotel itself is actually just okay.
Well, sure. But, you know.
Next time I'm getting an Airbnb, dang it.
These days, as long as it's not a flea trap, you know, it's passable, you know. Because I tend to, you know, I mean, it's not as big a deal anymore whether they've got a nice TV or whether they've got HBO or whether they've got all these different amenities. I mean, a hot tub sure is nice, so we frequently find one with a hot tub, but we bring our own entertainment now. And
this hot tub is not just a normal hot tub. Yeah, it's cool hot tub.
It's huge. We've described it before when we went there last time. It's this huge, like, well, first of all, the whole hotel has this weird 80s fake Hawaiian theme. Everything is like, you know,
in Humboldt County.
Yes,
it's very at a weird. Best Western.
It's okay. It's got a resort theme. It's got
what
really
I
weird.
Heard.
It's got palm trees and it's got this gigantic tropical hot tub. It's got like a waterfall falling into it, and
oh,
it's this gigantic hot tub that's got it's irregular shaped, and it's got all these little
coves,
in it where couples can hang out and just, you know, just be away from other people, you know. And so it's romantic, it's cool.
Tiki torches.
Yeah, it's got tiki torches and Hawaiian music playing. It's so incredibly cheesy. It's hilarious.
I heard rumor that because they are franchises, these Best Westerns, and I heard a rumor that the owner was a Disney fanatic, and that they purposely wanted to create an oasis, you know, area like Disneyland. And the other thing about this hotel that's sort of fun but sort of pointless.
Oh, that.
They have a limo.
I have a limo.
And they'll take you out. You can use the limo for free. You just tip the driver and they're happy. And
they'll take you anywhere in Eureka.
Yeah. No. Well, mostly the restaurants. And so Isabel went with me on my work trip. And so we rode a limo to dinner and back. Which, of course, is a little more thrilling to her than it is to me. But
did the limo wait for you while you were at dinner?
No, she coordinates it where she's dropping all the people off for their dinners and then picking them up. And sometimes you're in a shared limo because
she knows how long dinner takes at that restaurant.
And she knows all the restaurants, too. This woman has been doing it probably for 35 years, is my guess. She was serious about her limo. It clearly says Best Western on the outside of it, but she calls it her car.
The Best Western limo.
She doesn't let leftovers come into the limo. They have to go in the trunk. She's all, because I don't let leftovers come into my car.
Mm-hmm.
I was all, wow. So she owns it, sort of.
Her circa 1997
limo.
Oh,
my goodness. In her 1989 heels. And a sweater dress, maybe from the 90s.
The whole place does scream like 1989. Yeah. Just like 1989 resort, you know. When, yeah, everyone was into tiki torches and, tiki bars. Everybody had tiki bars in their backyard. That time, I'm glad we got over that. We made it, folks. Okay. Okay.
That was last week.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we can just move on. I don't have, like I said, a whole lot to talk about. There's not a whole lot of news we want to talk about.
Well, we have to talk about our newest episode of Star Trek.
Okay, but, all right. First, I do have a couple Onion headlines.
Okay.
Conservative man proudly frightened of everything. Resourceful man able to cobble together bad mood from handful of minor annoyances. That's me, by the way.
I did that a lot, too.
Yes. And the White House is now on TikTok, which is technically illegal because it's banned. Oh, wait, that's not an Onion headline. That's a real headline. That's right. The White House is now on TikTok. TikTok is technically banned in the United States. Because of national security risk.
They're getting trolled.
Yeah, totally. I mean, seriously. Yeah. who's trolling who now? I mean, the troll is eating its tail, I think. It's just like, I don't know what's going on anymore. I guess every American being on TikTok is technically illegal, right? Because it's technically banned. So why not the White House, too?
Wait, so was that really not an Onion headline?
That was really not an Onion headline. Yes, that was,
Surreal.
Yes, surreal. And this is like totally bypassing the whole question of why in the first place. Why is the White House on TikTok?
Yeah, I was couldn't figure out what advantage China would have in reviewing some teenage girl's thing on how to put on makeup. I mean, I just can't imagine how this would benefit China or be a problem for us.
Not until the White House joined, and now the White House has an official TikTok.
Now there's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem to me like maybe it wasn't a security issue until people started, yeah, if the NSA starts, announcing their plans via TikTok, that might be an issue.
Yeah, but they don't do too many makeup tutorials.
We don't know that, actually.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice.
That seems like classified information that we just would not know. So, yeah, we have no evidence one way or another on that one.
Is that where J.D. Vance gets his smoky eyes saved?
Precisely. See,
he's based, older. He goes to YouTube.
Based on all evidence. Well, yeah, good one. He's a millennial. He's not. He goes to Twitch. I don't know. I forgot where I was going to go with that. Anyway. Star Trek big super fan Ben Stiller has a Star Trek pitch, and he says it's important for the franchise to return to the big screen, and that is the entirety of that news article. We like Ben Stiller. I don't know why he's suddenly talking about Star Trek, but there we go. And also this week, there was announced a new Star Trek video game, Star Trek Voyager Across the Unknown. It's coming to Xbox, PlayStation, and PC. Players can decide for themselves how certain familiar situations play out, such as taking a risky approach or playing it safe, being diplomatic or not, or researching technologies that were shunned by the crew. The game features roguelike elements, so in each run, you will encounter different situations, and even iconic characters might meet an early end if you don't react accordingly. This would be news if every Star Trek video game weren't garbage. That's not true. Not everyone, but almost everyone is just, they're just not notable at all. There's never been a really hot Star Trek video game. There's been a number of hot Star Wars video games, but none of them, no real good Star Trek game. So, and this is coming from a publisher that is not known for A+ games, I hate to say, but anyway. They were most recently known for publishing The Lord of the Rings: Gollum, which was possibly the lowest rated game of 2024. So not really news, except that it is news. So I said it. There we go. What you got, Bert?
I just had a thought just flashed through my head. How long before Trump goes after the Star Wars franchise for being woke at DEI?
I know. I cannot wait.
Equal time to other species.
Could we just get it over with? Yeah, that's what I got. Should we talk about Star Trek? Let's talk about Star Trek.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Okay. This was we're going to talk about Strange New Worlds, Season 3, Episode 7. What is Starfleet? This was a very short episode, 40 minutes. Mom and Bert, we'll start with you. What did you think about this episode?
Oh, the very first thing that happens is they put up this little sign saying that this is a documentary. And I turned to Bert and I said, I'm already entertained. I mean, it only got on like 5 seconds and I was already entertained.
So you liked this episode?
I liked that episode very much. Because, of course, every time they start the episode, I think, all right, what's it going to be this time, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, and I hadn't anticipated this at all. They're very imaginative. You got to give these people credit for their imagination, which is required if you're going to do science fiction, but nevertheless.
It is. And Bert, how did you like it?
I took a while to get into it, just what they were doing, and because I didn't really relate to what they were referring back to.
Right. Gotcha.
I hadn't seen or forgot about it.
Well, and also every so often I got kind of confused as to what was going on also. Yeah. Every so often. I caught up again pretty quick, but I did have momentary confusion every now and then, mainly because I kept forgetting it was supposed to be a documentary.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, so that was kind of my problem there.
And Zoe?
I liked the episode. We only got to watch it once.
Yeah,
I kind of want to.
But we watched it today.
Yeah, but I kind of do want to see it again. But what I really liked about it was that we still got an episode, even though it was a documentary. We still saw something happen that we'd never saw happen otherwise. You know, that particular storyline. So we still had Star Trek action. We still got to see a new alien species. We got to, you know, be in some battles or, you know, everybody had to figure something out. And so it was like, I thought they pulled off making an episode out of a documentary pretty good. And also I liked the way he flipped gears 3/4 of the way through, and it became, you know, he included himself in there and how he had mistakenly believed something and went ahead and just took the brunt of being wrong. So yeah, I liked the episode overall. It was odd. I kind of want to see it again to just further evaluate.
Okay. I was not a fan of this episode.
Really? How come?
You
don't like Ortegas, that's why.
I think Ortegas is boring. I think
that, I like Ortegas.
That's fine. I think her brother is possibly 5 times more boring. I mean, he's a completely non-developed character. And this is a 40-minute documentary, and it's a really poorly made documentary, as far as documentaries go. I've seen so many better documentaries. I mean, if they wanted to do a documentary, give us a 90-minute documentary. Give us an 80-minute documentary. Give us an actual documentary. Don't give us this 40-minute crap and trying to disguise itself as an episode, because it wasn't... Okay, I have a personal issue, and I know this is not really a comment on the quality of anything, but I have a kind of an issue with documentaries where the documentarian comes into the puts himself in the documentary. I really prefer documentaries that are just I prefer to just be shown the situation. You know, I don't really necessarily need the documentarian to come in. And I thought there were some clever things in this episode. I think there were some, for every clever thing in this episode, there was one equally dumb thing. Like, there's the spy shot where his drone or himself is eavesdropping on the captain
behind
and the first
the
officer behind the corner, and they're taking orders from Starfleet, and it says orders from Starfleet redacted. Orders from Starfleet redacted. Okay, so what was the point of the spy shot if it was all going to be put into Starfleet's hands in the first place or at the end, and they're going to redact whatever they wanted? Why not just send the camera out in the open? There were a lot of actual documentary errors, you know, then I'm like, okay, they're trying to make this look like a documentary and they're failing, you know, because I'm, if you're going to make a documentary, I know too much about documentaries and even mockumentaries. I've seen mockumentaries that are done better than this, you know, and if you're going to do it, you gotta really do it. And I don't think they really did it. Yeah. So I mean, I guess that's my biggest thing I will say, as far as having a personal episode, you know, an episode that was about the people involved and not about the action involved. I think that this show did a much better job than Disco did. I am more involved in these people. I do care a little bit more about these people. I think that we didn't learn a whole lot about these people in this episode.
Well, but they did give us a little sneaky thing with Spock and La'an, because, you know, they've been dancing all the time, and mm-hmm. so clearly they're starting some sort of a relationship, and they didn't really touch on it in this episode, except that early in the episode, Spock walks in and hands her, I think, a cup of coffee. Which is something you do to somebody you're close to. You don't, or your boss.
In the last episode, La'an and Nurse Chapel had a conversation walking down the hall where La'an basically said they were dating.
Yeah.
Oh, that seemed to pass me by.
Yeah, it was very obscure, and just because we watched it twice,
she just said, "Oh, we're having fun, and we don't want to put any labels on it."
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, yeah, and like just so that Chapel acknowledged it, but I mean, yeah. So, but that they did show a personal scene where they were meditating or something.
Yeah, they were meditating together, and there was a hovering camera in Spock's quarters.
Up with that?
I mean, again,
it did that a couple times to a few other people too.
It took me out of it. You know, if this is a documentary, you got to have a reason for the camera to be in there, because Spock's not going to have a camera in his own quarters during meditation. You know, I mean, that's just it doesn't seem real to me.
They all gave permission to be filmed pretty much any time.
Well, sure. I mean, yeah.
Till 9 p.m., your drone can float into my cabin.
I know, but that's, I mean, if you're going to be, I mean, it just seems like you would lock the door if you're going to be meditating, right? First of all, I guess unless you were expecting La'an to come in. There were just too many instances where the camera is floating right next to somebody's head. And I'm like, okay. I will say that, credit to the actors, it's hard to get yourself to look down the barrel of the camera. And they do it a number of times in this episode because it's a documentary and there's a camera right there. And of course, you're going to look at it. You're going to look right at the camera if it's right in your face. That's kind of hard for an actor to do, because they have for years and years and years trained not to look down the barrel of the camera. Don't look at the camera. Kudos to them. I believe the documentary would have benefited from being much longer. I think the documentary, the writers of the faux documentary wanted the faux documentary to be edgy and wanted to give the kid like an edge to him that I didn't quite get, you know. The kid asks, you know, what does it feel like to kill someone? And I just immediately shouted, fuck you. I mean, that's not a question that I think even a real honest-to-God documentarian would ask like that, you know?
He came off as quite a jerk.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, telling
Uhura that her friend died, and how does it feel that your friend died, you know? I mean, the kid was just an asshole, and I didn't enjoy the documentary at all. Maybe that's my problem. I just didn't enjoy his damn documentary. It was bad. It was bad. I'm sorry. I kudos to the writers for doing this. This is a great concept for an episode. I would like to see more mockumentary style stuff from Star Trek, but I would like to see it more on the comedic side. We've talked about this before in the past. I would love to see a mockumentary style workplace comedy like The Office of Starfleet.
I think they had that in the works, don't they?
That was the project that Tawny is theoretically working on, but we've heard nothing about it.
I mean, I would have said that's what Lower Decks was.
That was the series.
No, yeah. Well, Tawny was going to be working on a workplace comedy, and so.
But I feel like a workplace comedy is Lower Decks.
Yes, it certainly is.
I mean, I really think they've already done it, and they did an excellent job. We just want more. Give us another season of Lower Decks.
I would not mind an actual
live,
an actual office style with talking heads and all that kind of stuff. You know,
I'm not sure if all the jargon they have to spew out in their lines mixes very well with comedy without it being a cartoon. I mean, it would just be tough, I think. Because, I mean, there's just so much they could. It would be so hard to not have it be animated. You know, you get away with so much more with animated.
Well, sure.
And it's just like you're trying to stay serious in an episode with serious stuff, except for sometimes it probably is very hard to keep that serious as a comedy.
Well, but Strange New Worlds has done stuff unserious. There's the Spock and T'Pring switching bodies episode. There's the musical one. There's the one where they're where La'an is a princess carrying her dog around, and they're singing. And I mean, they've done unserious ones already that were very funny, and we did laugh. We enjoyed them quite a lot.
Yeah, but you're talking about a more political type.
No, thing. I'm talking about The Office. I'm talking about
right, Office.
You know, a mockumentary.
But that's sort of Lower Decks.
No, well, Lower Decks wasn't that. Lower Decks was a written comedy. Yeah. You know, none of it was like it. None of it felt improv. It all felt very written, you know, and very self-referential. I want a non-self-referential comedy.
I think you need to write the script and send it to them so they can get right on it.
Oh dear. Anyway, okay. Do what's on. I have very, very few notes. I mean, I just wasn't even interested in this enough to take notes. The B plot was this the orders that the Enterprise had to escort this weapon, this living weapon, to another planet, and they wove it into the documentary. I think that because they spent so much time on the documentary, that action sequence itself, the whole orders, lacked a lot of everything.
And that whole plot might be one of the reasons why the documentary part was not as good as it could have been, is because they were doing two different plot things in 40 minutes.
And trying to weave them into one framework, which was the documentary. And yeah, neither got enough attention that they should have, I think. The documentary should have got more attention, and the episode should have. And maybe, if they're smart, you know, I mean, they won't do this because that would be a total waste of money. But I would love to actually see this episode from the bridge crew's perspective, the non-documentary. Let's see the actual episode from start to finish. That would be interesting to me, because I do think that there was something there with that storyline. That's kind of cool. We do get confirmation that there is a camera in literally everybody's console, including the captain's chair. I think it's hilarious that I think that they really need to now retcon an explanation as to why cameras are suddenly not everywhere. whenever it's needed. Because, there are cameras everywhere. And I hate the artificial scan lines they put in the surveillance footage, you know, when they're picking up the captain's chair cam or the science officer's chair or the helm chair. They put in these, well, first of all, they put these brackets around the edges, which are dumb, they're reminiscent of a focusing box, except I guess the focus is the entire picture. And then they put in these fake scan lines to show us that this is surveillance footage.
I wonder if you're the only person that noticed that.
I am. Absolutely not. Absolutely
did you notice not. This, Nancy?
Yeah.
Lines in the screen?
Yeah.
Not notice that.
Why would their surveillance cameras have lower resolution than our goddamn phone cameras do? You know, our phone cameras get a much better picture than that.
They're trying to signal us that this is part of the program as opposed to
the visual cheat.
Main cameras. We see this a lot in other programs where if they show you something from the past, they desaturate it. It's not totally black and white.
I know, it's a cheat. It's a writer's and visual cheat.
Yeah. And that's what they were doing, so I didn't mind it at all.
It reminds me of the stupid episode where Neelix is recording a morning show.
Yeah.
And every time he's recording, they have the same thing. They have these brackets and the scan lines, you know.
That's to signal us that this is a program
than a program. It's dumb. This isn't the 80s anymore. We don't need that as a visual cue anymore. Just put down at the bottom, you know, the writing that they had, which was...
They put down there, a date.
Yeah.
And numbers that keep going,
That was sufficient. That's all we need. We're not dumb. We don't need the rest of that visual language anymore. This isn't the 80s or the 90s, where audiences are more sophisticated. We're used to looking at surveillance footage, too. I mean, we see it on TV all the time. We're used to looking down at the bottom and looking at the Chiron real quick to see who it is that's talking. I mean, this is normal stuff now. So, I don't know. I guess I'm nitpicking.
You are nitpicking.
I am picking nits. Okay. And I guess one more comment was when the creature is flying into the sun, committing suicide, and what did you say?
That I wouldn't want to watch that happen. Everybody went to the window.
It was horrible. I didn't want to
watch it happen on the show in real life.
And then what happens? Right as it's happening, everybody turns away out of respect. But I'm like, why are you watching in the first place? I'm with Zoe. Why were you watching in the first place? You know,
they need to lead the creature to their son? Surely the creature can tell where the son is, and he's perfectly capable of moving around by himself.
I get the idea that the creature wanted an escort so that the other ship wouldn't interfere.
All right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I thought that it was because since in its DNA it was instructed to basically destroy, that it had to have them, that they had to shoot at it and then it had to follow them in order to make the order go into the sun.
Its programming wouldn't otherwise allow it to do that.
Yes, so it had to be chasing them and then they stopped, but it was already so far it could keep going, I don't know.
That also makes sense. Again, not really enough time to put... I mean, there was enough time. Here's a side issue. This is streaming. This is not on TV. They are not constrained to any amount of time. They could have made this an 80-minute episode if they wanted to. And what did they do instead? They made it a 40-minute episode. They literally made it shorter than every other episode. And this episode in particular really could have benefited from another 10 minutes, you know? Yeah. And you know, so we're not sitting here speculating as what the creature's motivations were. You know, we could have had just a little bit more exposition, you know, a little bit more involvement. I think that they did it on purpose because it's a documentary. They're just kind of skimming over the surface. We're supposed to believe that this is all he could get declassified, and that there's probably other things we don't know about because, you know, he wasn't given access to them. The documentary wasn't given access to them. I think the documentary was missing an opening, a real opening, and a real closing, you know, like a documentary. and I mean, like, opening credits and closing credits, you know. It didn't really seem like a documentary to me. You know, it seemed like an unfinished video segment that you would see on YouTube that, you know, they didn't bother putting an intro or an outro. They just kind of filmed something and they threw up a splash screen in the beginning saying what you're about to watch is found footage that was found in a forest by three kids who were lost in 1978. I'm sorry. There's a lot of potential here. I mean, like, a found footage episode would be really fun. Found footage from, like, a destroyed Starfleet vessel, and the Enterprise is having to watch these logs, and it's just like, that would be pretty good. I mean, there's potential here.
They do that all the time without making it a story. They should make it a story.
Yes, exactly. Especially since that is an accepted storytelling thing to do these days. Mm-hmm. Found footage is a known genre. So, absolutely. For a genre-bending program like this, you know, where they are really kind of reaching out and trying every little genre they can, which, when I look back at the series as a whole, I really kind of appreciate. I appreciate them going back and forth. It's this show is really literally all over the map. But I do appreciate them doing that instead of kind of like what Disco which was kind of the same slog every week, you know. Every once in a while they had an interesting, you know, time travel episode or something like that, but otherwise it was the same shit every week. And this show is definitely not that. So, you know, and maybe what we're looking at is third season syndrome, where if finally a show finds its footing in its third season, and we're going to look back and go, okay, it was always meant to be all over the place. You know, that's what this show does. So, any final thoughts? Anyone? All right, great. We're just going to go ahead and call it early. Just like the Star Trek episode itself, we're just going to do a little shortened episode here and call it a day. Mom and Bert, thanks for calling this week. We will talk to you again next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
At your destination.
And that'll do it for us for this week. Please check out all the wonderful offerings the Great American Broadcast Network has to offer. That would be the show, The Ramble, The Arena, The Intersection, many others. Check them out. Gabnet.net is where you find them. I'm Damian Chaplin.
And I'm Zoe.
And thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a great week. And remember, when it comes to great conversation, the X marks the spot. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for calling.
Blah, blah. That's a wrap.